Chapter 3. When it's time for our last activity of the day, I bring my group of 9 and 10-year-olds to the locker room to put on sweatshirts, hats, and gloves for open skate. I turn it into an Ojibwe language lesson, naming each item in Anishinaabemowin as I put it on. Nabikawagan, I say, wrapping my scarf around my neck as we step onto the ice. Hey, Bubble, Levi shouts my least favorite nickname across the rink. On Friday afternoons, the Sault Ste. Marie Superiors skate with the kids. The Soups are an elite junior A-League team, a stepping stone for guys hoping to play at the college or professional level. Grand Mary refers to the Soups as a finishing school for hockey players. My younger brother, who will be a high school senior, was made team captain in only his second year on the team. In Michigan's Upper Peninsula, the Soups are regarded as hockey gods, which makes Levi like Zeus, possessing something special that transcends even natural talent and hard work. We look nothing alike. I'm the spitting image of our father, but where Dad's facial features were proportional to his large frame, mine are like caricatures. Levi resembles his mom, right down to the dimples, bronze skin, and long eyelashes. Dad was a hockey god, so Levi lucked out there, too. Plus, my brother can be charming, especially when he wants something. Levi and one of the new Soups are skating with the 5 and 6-year-olds, which include my 6-year-old cousins Perry and Pauline. Auntie Donis! I love when my twin cousins call me Auntie. I ditch my group and skate over to them. Auntie, did you know today is Friday the 13th? Pauline sounds like a teacher. Uncle Levi says bad luck is just made up horseshit, Perry chimes in. I imitate Pauline's schoolmarm tone. Levi, did you know that responsible aunts and uncles don't swear around young, impressionable minds? The Soup next to Levi snickers. See, new guy knows what I'm saying. It's Jamie, new guy says. Jamie Johnson. Hey, let's see what you bring to the team before I learn your name, I say. Outcast's Heya blasts over the rink sound system as I take off my extra-long scarf. Perry and Pauline latch onto the ends, and I pull the twins around the rink. Dad used to do this with Levi and me, a kid on each end, with the middle of the scarf around his waist like a harness. My dad's scarf was jade green, the same color as Mom's eyes. Perry pleads to go faster. That girl is happiest on warp speed, with her long blue-black hair fanning behind her like jet vapor condensation trails. Impulsively, I double back to Levi, digging in my hockey skates for 4 quick lateral pushes, enough to make Perry squeal but not get Pauline rushed out. Just before I reach my brother, I halt with a quarter turn. My hockey blades shear the ice. The shavings hit Levi and new guy. I flash a grin as they jump back a second too late. Levi is amused, but new guy's jaw drops with something like shock and awe. I check the twins' trajectory. Perry tries mimicking my stop. She falls over but pops right back up. Pauline keeps going until she bounces off the dashboard and lands on her back. I'm certain she's okay, but I skate over anyway. New guy follows me. When I reach her, Pauline looks up at me, breaking into a jack-o'-lantern grin. Her beautiful face is the darkest amber, a perfect and precious deep golden brown. She flaps her mittens at me. Pick me up, she pleads. I remember how, as a kid, I once fell hard, my helmet smacking the ice. Dad was at my side in an instant, deep voice booming. Nadonis, Bazigawinjisen. I scrambled to stand while my eyes saw stars. That's my girl. Whenever I fall, my dad's voice is the thunder following the crack of lightning, telling me to get back up. Hey, you're fine, I say. She squeals with delight when new guy helps her up. You should have let her lie there like a slug till she freezes, I tell him. I try not to smile when he spins Pauline on the ice and laughs along with her. People are watching, and I'm not giving the gossips anything to comment on. I look around for Lily. She's surrounded by preschoolers inching forward with their colorful plastic skate helpers. She makes eye contact as well as a lewd gesture with her hand and tongue. Clearly, Lily agrees with everyone who's been yammering nonstop about the new Soup since the team for the 2004-2005 season was announced a week ago. Jamie Johnson is crazy hot. Jamie Johnson's scar makes him look mysterious. Isn't it too bad that Jamie Johnson has a girlfriend back home? Yeah, that won't last. And worst of all, hey, Donis, can you ask Levi to assign me as Jamie Johnson's soup ambassador? I sneak a glance at him. Empirically speaking, I suppose Jamie is good looking. He's got huge dark eyes and dark brown hair long enough for curls to go in different directions. I'm more interested in the scar that runs from the outer edge of his right eyebrow to his jawbone. I study it. It doesn't have the plump overgrowth of a keloid, so that makes it a hypertrophic scar. Levi told me about you. You're headed to the University of Michigan? Jamie says, watching the twins skate back to their group leader. Oh, I, change of plans. I meet Levi's eyes as he joins us. I'm going to Lake State. My mom needs me. I clear my throat. You know, with everything going on. I don't mention Grandma Pearl's warning about bad things happening in threes. You're staying? Levi shouts. Woohoo! My brother picks me up and spins me until I'm nauseous. I whack at his back, laughing. His happiness is kind of contagious. Levi sets me down. Now we've got something to celebrate this weekend. Party at the big house tomorrow at 8, right? Beer will be ice cold. Lily and I will be there. Still cheering, Levi skates away like the Pied Piper, leading a line of kids who imitate his footwork. So you're sticking around. Jamie's smile extends to his eyes, and the last traces of nausea somersault in my stomach. Non-empirically speaking, Jamie Johnson is hot when his eyes sparkle like that. He keeps talking. I wish you were going to be a senior, too, but hey, at least you get to miss out on my Uncle Ron as your science teacher. I nod, even as my nose stings with familiar tingles, which I force away with a clenched jaw. Is that a bad thing? Jamie's voice deepens slightly with concern. No, it's just... Your uncle is filling my uncle's job at Soo High. The image of Uncle David adjusting the gas flame of a Bunsen burner triggers a tidal wave of sadness and fury. Jamie waits for me to say more. He died a few months ago. It was awful. I correct myself. It's still awful. When someone dies, everything about them becomes past tense, except for the grief. Grief stays in the present. It's even worse when you're angry at the person, not just for dying, but for how. My mother fainted when she heard the news about Uncle David. Later, when the police provided details, she insisted he had been sober for over 13 years. Not a drop of alcohol since the day Mom returned from the library on campus and found 5-year-old me on the sofa reading books to my passed-out uncle. She was adamant that her brother had never used other substances, ever. I'm very sorry, Donis. My name sounds different in his almost husky voice of concern. He stretches my name so it sounds like Donis, rather than the way my firekeeper relatives say it, Donis. Lily calls my name and points with her lips toward the dashers where Teddy is waiting. My aunt motions for me. I skate over, a bit surprised when Jamie follows. Hey, I came here to vote and pick up the girls, but now there's a thing at work. Auntie notices Jamie. Hi, I'm Teddy Firekeeper. You must be the new soup everyone is talking about. It's a big deal whenever another native player makes a team. Where are you from? Jamie Johnson, ma'am, he offers his hand. From all over. We moved a lot. Auntie looks respectable, in a pantsuit with a gorgeous beaded floral medallion. But there's still the echo of the girl who would have throat-punched you for calling her Theodora. I meant which tribe, she clarifies. Cherokee, ma'am. But I didn't grow up around any family. I glance at Jamie. I cannot fathom growing up without relatives. I have so many family members, not all blood related, who have surrounded me my entire life, plus a lot of matriarchs and mini matriarchs in training. You need me to keep the girls a while, Auntie? Can you? She sounds relieved. Gotta go back to work. T-shirts came in for next week's immunization fair, and they have an owl saying, "Be wise, immunize." Auntie shakes her head. No one caught it before ordering 300 shirts, hey? Holy, Lily skates over in time to add her succinct opinion. What's the problem? Jamie directs the question to me, confused. Either Cherokees have different teachings about owls, or else Jamie doesn't know his culture. In Ojibwe culture, the owl is a companion for crossing over when you die, I explain. Not exactly the ambassador you want telling Nish parents to immunize their babies. Auntie adds, not everyone knows their teachings. So I'm meeting with the community health worker and her supervisor back at the office so we can rush order new shirts. On a Friday night? Lily's both appalled and impressed. Well, it's a problem they helped create, so they need to be part of the solution. Auntie calls to the twins in Anishinaabe Moin. Ambe Jimshin. They hurry over for kisses and hugs. After their mother leaves, Pauline asks Jamie to lift her up. He does, and she poses like it's their Olympic performance. I admire how he holds her with perfect technique, which I recognize from the years of figure skating lessons I endured in exchange for Grand Mary letting me play hockey as well. I wonder how long Jamie trained as a pairs figure skater before he switched to hockey. Lily catches me watching him. I'd say it's too bad the new soup has a girlfriend, but I know you don't date hockey players because of your Moen hockey world rules. She sounds almost mad about it. Yup, gotta keep hockey world separate from regular world. On the ice, I know the rules, but off the ice, the rules are always changing. My life goes more smoothly when hockey world and regular world don't overlap. Same with my Fontaine and Firekeeper worlds. But the good stuff happens when worlds collide. Osmosis combustion, Lily says. I grin. You're thinking of collision theory. When two things collide and exchange energy if the reacting particles have enough kinetic energy. Oh yeah. How could I have gotten them confused? She laughs. But seriously though, your rules are so black and white. Why can't you just... Lily? A voice calls out. We both turn, and I freeze when I see Lily's ex-boyfriend standing near the dasher door a few feet away. I tense at his familiar, hopeful smile, then look to Lily for my cue on how to react. Back in the sixth grade, we were in the cafeteria when Lily first heard sweet, dorky Travis Flint burp the alphabet. She laughed so hard she snorted milk from her nose. It was the best reaction he'd ever gotten. Travis instantly fell for Lily. When he grew up in high school, revealing chiseled cheekbones and a square jaw, girls suddenly noticed the class clown was beyond handsome. Travis was radiant, especially when making Lily laugh. That all changed back in December, halfway through our senior year. I watched Lily closely. If she talks to Travis, I'll have to brace myself for another episode in the Lily and Travis saga. It's a show that keeps getting renewed, even though they repeat the same storyline. Fortunately, she skates away, clearly uninterested in speaking with him. Travis isn't wearing skates, but I block the half-door opening to the ice anyway, channeling every inch and pound of my body into becoming an impenetrable wall. Every hockey team needs a goon, someone to start shit or avenge wrongdoing. I am Lily's goon. Donnie, don't be like that. The hollows under his cheekbones are concave to the point of sickly. Any softness is gone. He seems like a shell of the funny boy who once made me laugh so hard that I peed my pants a little. I swear I'm clean. Just want to talk to her. Not gonna happen, Trav. I put my hands on my hips to become even wider. I'm clean, he repeats. I'm staying clean for her. I know, I say. I believe he truly means it. But that doesn't mean it's a good idea for him to be near Lily. I usually call guys on their crap, but the sincerity in his voice almost makes me want to hug him. It's different from the typical guy lies. Guy lies are the things guys declare in the heat of the moment, which fade with time and distance. I've heard quite a few guy lies thanks to TJ Kuwaiden, the Sugar Island Ojibwe tribe's newest cop. I can't stop thinking about you. Or, U of M is only 2 hours from Central. We can make that work. And my personal favorite? I love you. Travis is not lying when his anguished voice cracks. I just miss her so much. I'll do anything to get her back. I know you'll do anything. That's why I'm going all goon on you. Lily told me what he did. Come on, Lilybit. It's a love medicine. It'll make our relationship stronger. Try it for me. Trav, maybe you should stay clean for yourself. Go to ceremonies. Get healthy. Travis's eyes brighten, and for an instant, I remember how funny and beautiful he used to be. He was my favorite of Levi's friends. We took nearly every advanced placement science class together. Travis Flint was my friend, too.
That'll do it, won't it, Donnie?
He says excitedly, turning as if to run for the nearest sweat lodge.
I'll promise to go to traditional medicine. See the healer.
Get healthy for you, not for her, I shout at his back. As I watch Travis run off, I feel unsettled. I quickly skate around the perimeter looking for Lily. She can always use a hug after a Travis encounter. I'll listen to what she says and doesn't say and support whatever she decides. I really don't like the Lily and Travis saga. I only watch because my best friend stars in it and she needs my protection and my support. After all, goons get called upon to do what other players can't or won't. I've seen Travis in bad shape before, but this felt different. He looked desperate, like he wants to do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. I resolved to keep an eye on Travis to make sure he stays far away from Lily until he's doing better. I'm worried that Lily may be in danger of more than a broken heart.